So, hi Jenny, this is Jenny Romerall. This is her presentation. Jenny, just to say, this is a glorified tutorial between me and Sarah to bounce some ideas off and just to make sure that the direction you're going and where you're at, you're happy with.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it.
And this is recorded, so you don't have to take notes.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, tell us about where you've ended up from all of this research.
Can I turn this So I kind of wanted to do my project in more of like a fantasy direction, mm-hmm. which I was struggling to find things from London that kind of pulled it in that direction.
Okay. Because
mm-hmm. Obviously fantasy, there's like a really big wide genre, mm-hmm. and it could be anything from like sci-fi laser guns to like elves and orcs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so there's a really wide range there. I think I'm quite interested in like sort of orcs and trolls and like sort of more ugly things.
Yeah.
But then for the ism, I think it counts as Art Nouveau. I've been looking into a bit.
Well, I think that makes a link because it has got that sort of romanticism, mm-hmm. hasn't it? And
yeah.
You know, like with the idea of sprites and sort of referencing Shakespeare and, you know, Ophelia and Roman and Greek.
And it's kind of got a fluidity to it, Art Nouveau.
Yeah.
I think it makes a natural link, you know, because the, you know, that art has a lot of maidens and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it feeds into that sort of Tolkien's world kind of vibe. So, okay, we've got like a fantasy. So we know this is going to be slightly sort of like phantasmagorical. This is...
Yes.
Angle.
Sort of the general sort of idea. I'm not entirely sure where...
That's fine at this point. Listen, this is absolutely fine because this is the whole point with having so many weeks for the FMP.
You've got a good starting point.
Is that you can just keep playing, you know, like up to sort of Easter, more or less. So the idea should naturally come to the surface. So again, you know, that's fine that you don't have specifics at this point. Discipline being...
So I was looking more into 3D art for this one, specifically like digitally and then printing it, like using the 3D printers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll probably explore more traditional mediums as well to like show that I can do that.
I was going
to
say, so really, you know, realm is kind of, sort of almost like 3D as well, like model making and mold making and casting.
Yeah.
You know, so I would really, if you are going down that line, definitely, then definitely have some exploration of moulding and mould-making objects, you know, from simple to the more complex, so that you can get an idea of just how the different processes give you different effects and can take you in different... give you an idea on basically the time.
Yeah.
You know, the time, effort,
and
materials...
True.
You know, so that
whether it's manageable,
exactly, you know, from small to big, you know, because we don't want really is a whole project where you've just focused on the 3D printer,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's at this point, especially, we want to sort of move around.
I think I wanted to focus it mostly on like the actual characters' designs,
I was thinking. Because you're largely animation.
And game design.
Yeah, then that does now link.
Yeah, so I was thinking of doing the character designs and like printing out the characters afterwards with the models.
That's a great idea. So again, it's kind of forming these characters then, isn't it? So it's almost like forming the worlds these characters inhabit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be the first bit.
I was going to say, so it's the first bit creating the world that they inhabit before the character.
Yeah, it's probably when you have to figuring out the world because the character, a lot of their design features are going to be based on their environments they live in.
I see it here already.
So with the environments, what I would probably challenge you though with when thinking of environments is... playing around with some really alternative environments, just some really left field. You know, as much as I love the idea of the forest at night, all these sort of classical...
fantasy vibes.
Areas.
You
know, I won't reel them off because you'll probably be like, no, I wasn't thinking that at all. But just those fantasy areas, turning it on its head a little bit as well. I don't know, playing around with some of these fantasy characters in really mundane settings, like...
Waitrose.
Like in the kitchen ironing. Or just having a play at a certain stage of just in that world of what a fantasy world is.
Mm.
You know, looking at, you know, going back and looking at like Lewis Carroll and Alice in Wonderland, you know, going into these different worlds, you know, maybe even some sort of an exploration into, you know, hallucinogenics, and especially in the past, you know, because you sort of read a lot about these authors and it turns out they had like mercury poisoning.
Yeah.
Or they were actually high.
Or took some psychedelics.
Yes, and they didn't, you know, like at the time, and that's when they came up with the characters and things that. So I really would, at this point, just keep exploring these worlds.
Yeah.
And then get to a point and then start linking them. Because once you've got a wide idea of of the worlds and environments, I'm sure you'll naturally then start building the characters, you know.
Sounds really fun, Jenny.
Yeah, you know, we can work out later on how we're going to present all this, definitely, as we go along, you know.
Yeah.
I would definitely also think about being inclusive or ethical considerations of these characters, like, do they have to have all two legs and two arms? And
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do they have to have all their five senses? You know,
yeah, that's the point.
I just feel like if you're going to create sort of modern, contemporary fantasy character design and things like that, you want to sort of be unique. And there's a lot, it's a flooded market, yeah. You know, so, you know, you've got to sort of stand out.
Mm.
And I kind of feel by bringing in a, whether it is like an ethical and inclusive thing or a statement on,
or something relatable.
Relatable, yeah, totally. Then please really include that and investigations. You know, because you could, you know, again, you know, like with like Harry Potter, for instance, just, you know, how J.K. Rowling cleverly highlighted the idea of racism with muggles and wizards. You know, really pertinent subject content, but used within the wizard world.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, like, even looking at, like, have you ever read any, like, Terry Pratchett books?
I have them on my shelf ready to go. They're in my to-do.
Okay, so I would read some of them as research.
Yeah.
Because he's...
I've read one of his books, but it's not the Discworld ones. No. It's Good Omens.
Okay. Yeah, I think, along those ones. So he uses political and, like, everyday satire. I think I read one on witches, and it was all about female...
Yeah, there was a bit about
witches. It was all about sexism. Mm,
yeah.
Bit in the witch world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, you know, where he's really clever is he's combined, you know, satire and, you know, relevant day situations, and infused it into a fantasy world.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot more, I guess, accessible. So that would be my sort of advice on that.
Yeah, okay.
But with these creatures, like, give us some more ideas on, you know, where that world is at the moment, where you're at. Like, may I ask what the crochet element is with this?
I was just trying to look at different textures and stuff, because obviously you lose a lot of texture when starting to work digitally.
Yeah, yeah.
So I find if I focus a lot on it in the beginning, it helps me with kind of bringing that sort of back in.
Okay.
Later on in the process.
I'd be careful with mood boards, you know, like, unless it's a pertinent thing that's part of the idea and it's going to be infused in it.
Yeah, okay.
Don't put it in.
Okay.
Yeah, because then it becomes a distraction, because I'm thinking when I look at this, it's going to be fantasy, but somehow you're going to be infusing, like,
metals
or thrown away, you know, like, or recyclables, or is that, like, the idea there with this area, or?
I was thinking I could do something with the metals, because I've been collecting loads of those little tab things, and I kind of want to do something with them.
Create
like a chain
a garland,
mail? Yeah, like chain mail
for,
armor or something.
Yeah, yeah, for an armor for a character.
Yeah,
yeah.
So then suddenly then it's like, well, then could we not make sure that when you're creating these characters and that we're using maybe recyclables in there, or clever
found
materials,
yeah,
or
yeah,
found materials. Again, as another layer of
the ethical
difference
sustainability as well.
From it, because, you know, that's what that leads me to with this.
Yeah.
You know, again, you know, there's a bit of romanticism in here that I'm feeling as well as fantasy. It's, you know, these are really, you know, pure romantic, aren't they? Just sort of these beautiful women sort of absorbed into sort of flora and fauna and...
Yeah.
You know, sort of firelights and that. It does sort of really incur, you know, that stuff. So again, I see there's a lot of texture as well. So again, you know, I'm thinking if you're getting into sort of 3D and rendering and all of those kind of things, then definitely creating your own textures and or capturing texture.
Yeah.
especially that you've like, you could do, for instance, a project where you just create textures from found objects and recyclable objects versus selected, you know, like, you know, like completely purposeful selection, you know, like I want a Malcho Mel and getting a Malcho Mel versus
making one
out of ring pulls.
Yeah.
You know, again, this can lead to characters, because then, you know, is it a fantasy world that's kind of like a sort of dystopian city where there's like loads of trash, you know, in like, you know, sort of like that Watchmen kind of aesthetic.
Yeah.
Is it Watchmen? Have you ever seen it, The Watchmen?
I've not seen it, but I think I've...
Yeah, it's kind of like you saw your comics, but it's turned on its head and it's even darker. So maybe watch The Watchmen as well.
Yeah.
Because it's there's a darkness to this as well, but I also see sort of some femininity and romance.
Yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, when you've got things like The Crochet, just be very wary, unless you're going to really, like, there's an idea to infuse The Crochet into it. It's kind of just edit.
Yeah.
You know, like, I see where it's useful in the board, because these boards are beautiful. But what we want is these boards to tell us something.
Yeah.
About the idea, you know, with less words. And the sort of textile element is probably a little bit confusing, because I'm now thinking you're making textile, you know, the idea is to make textile characters.
Yeah.
Is there anything would like to add? So let's think of a sort of an action plan then. So sort of digital character design at this point, that's fine. So fantasy, definitely, that's sort of ticked in. So now it's a case of kind of creating these worlds, I guess. So how would you entail starting to create these worlds?
Task.
So, you know, if I was to come at it fresh, I would be going on a fact-finding mission around Jersey and find little areas, like little, you know, up at Jardin Don Olivier, there's little towered russet towers, like little in the forest, that are part of an old Victorian garden that you can go in. They're like little follies.
Yeah.
You know, so like going to like places and getting the imagery is one star.
It's also Regis Garden that's closing down soon, so that might be worth a visit. Mm. Have you been there?
I think I might have.
Up in St. Brelard's, but they've got sort of little fantasy, little mini fairy type worlds all around his little park.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even like, you know, like trying alternatives, like going to some really industrial places, going to some really disparate places where there's nothing and it's all quite barren and or highly populated, you know, and again, those alternatives like supermarkets and things, if you want to take a humorous edge with it. And then after I've done that, I would then think about, I would maybe create little worlds, like make some little dioramas.
Yeah,
could be really good. Like make some little tiny sets, like layered sets with the little worlds in to start off with.
Yeah.
Just, you know, then while that's going on, then you could be, you know, cooking the idea a little bit further.
Yeah.
But I definitely think, yeah, get into creating the worlds and do it in a really practical way to start off with, like you're making tiny doll sets.
Yeah.
Almost. That could be really good fun.
Yeah.
Because then you could include a bit of stop motion animation maybe with some of it. Like,
absolutely.
For 1 week you might be like, you know, for a week I'm just gonna make some little animations for these.
Yeah.
You know, but that would be my advice anyway, you know. Thing. I don't know if Sarah's got any other angles to take it on.
No, it's great. I was only thinking sort of, what would they be doing? Like, does that make sense? Your characters in their world.
Mm.
What about them? Is there a storyline there? Or is that something that's going to sort of evolve as you go along?
I think that will be something that evolves, because it will depend on the world and stuff as well.
That's
so
a good point, yeah.
But definitely, yeah, have an opinion, have something to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't want them like in your end show just to be like, unless it's a real demonstration of you showing your skills with making miniatures or worlds and things like that.
Mm.
You don't want people sort of just like, you know, walking by and being like, oh, that's pretty. Look, they've made tiny gloves and shoes and whatever. Oh, that's nice. You know, you've got to think, do I want to take them somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, do I want to bring the viewer in and make them, you know, is it going to be about escapism? Escapism. If it's fantasy, so it's almost to me an element of escape.
Mm.
You know, so I want the viewer to go in and get lost and immersed.
Like an experience type.
Yeah, and you know, like a lot of things that are really popular at the moment are like immersive experiences. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could create an immersive experience.
I was just thinking it would be really nice if there was like some sound going on and some sort of attention to lighting and this. I'm thinking way ahead now.
Yeah, so am I. Because you know, like thinking ahead, you could have a room.
Yeah.
You know, you could be projecting. You know, like almost like your animation, if you wanted, like an animation of this. You could have all your models up in one part of the room. The other room, people could be going in and just having a light and sound and visual experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like immersed in a fantasy world. You know, that could be a really exciting thing. But and that's so far down the line, we will come to that.
Yeah.
But no, what I want you to do, Jenny, is maybe go away now, make a mood board that's a little bit more pertinent.
Yeah.
You know, be really edit and select and just be like, right, this is the image, that's the image, there's the influence, there's the environment, or, you know, this sums up character design, fantasy with a more unique, you know, like with a Jenny spin on it, you know.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see something of you in it as well, you know, that represents you. And then I would start playing around with, like, maybe even investigating, like, dioramas.
Yeah, okay.
And start playing around with dioramas.
Yeah.
As your first response. Be fun as well.
Yeah.
Love a diorama.
Perhaps reading some more fantasy or watching any sort of fantasy animations of anything that's interesting to you might help inform this a little bit more or give you a bit more inspiration.
Definitely, like, even from, like, you know, like, again, what's the Winona Ryder one? Stranger Things.
Mm.
The only reason I use Stranger Things is not because it is current, which is really important. Well, fairly current, which is really important. But what I love about that is that they mix the 80s with a fantasy world, you know? So it's almost two fantasy worlds, you know?
Yeah.
It's a world we think we know and we're familiar with and we love, like, you know, if you're from the 80s, you've got that nostalgia thing going on, which has set a trend off. You know, everyone's getting, like, you know, mullets again and that because of it. And that's a really interesting aspect. It's not just taking one world and being coming to this fantasy. It's actually, well, the 80s is gone. It's in the past, so it's a period in itself, sitting with a different fantasy world. You know, and even things like looking back to the future, playing around with time continuums as well. Does it have to be a fantasy world, or could it be a flash to the future, like a dystopian look into the future? What, like 2,000 years... like where we've mutated, where aliens have come.
Look what we've done to the planet.
Where we have, you know, like where we've become mutants and hybrids rather than fantasies. And then you can do an origin story. Do you know what I mean? Like, because who doesn't love an origin story? How they become their characters.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to stop talking. Okay? Right, that's pretty much it.